Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here as we begin a new topic of study today here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. Honored to sit down and break open God's Word and read it here with you. If you want to study this lesson again in your own time or share it with a friend, we'd greatly appreciate that. You can find the archive online anytime. I'm at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G. readingtheword.net. Click on where it says radio programs. This is number 96 in the series. We would love for you to share it and study it again. I want to talk about fighting today for the time presented before us in this format with a lesson titled The Battle Belongs to the Lord. Now, that's the name of a hymn, a newer hymn in some of the newer hymnals. In heavenly armor will enter the land. The first verse begins, "The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us shall stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. For we sing glory and honor and power and strength to the Lord." Glory, honor, power and strength of the Lord. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and the 47th verse as we begin our study today. 1 Samuel 14 verse 47, by the way, I am reading from the King James translation. And this is the story of David and Goliath. Just want to pick a verse out of here. We'll look at one in Chronicles as well. But 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47. David is speaking and he says, "All the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I love the confidence of that young lad, maybe about 17, 18 years old, as he is going into battle. David knew that the battle with Goliath belonged to the Lord. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 15, if you will. 2 Chronicles 20. In verse 15, notice Jehoshaphat here. He is speaking. He said, "Hearken ye all, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And now, King Jehoshaphat, says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's." God is telling Jehoshaphat to know that you're fighting the battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord. David knew that the battle belonged to the Lord as he began to fight against a giant named Goliath. You know, dear friends, we do not face a physical giant, not a 10-foot-tall giant named Goliath that comes out and taunts us for 40 days and nights, but we do have a common enemy. You and I share it together. Oh, yes, we may have people that look to us as being their enemies, people that want to get us all riled up, but our main enemy in this life, dear friends, is Satan. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Be sober." That means not only being not drunk, but it also means not polluting your mind with anything. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a hungry lion. A hungry lion that hasn't eaten in a while, and he's looking for any kind of prey that be you and me, dear friends. We have a common enemy. We are in a fight. We as Christians, we're fighting a war every day. It's a war on sin. It is a sometimes silent war. By that I mean we're not shipped across the world to go fight, although there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'm always appreciative of the brave men and women who have fought for this country and who are fighting now and those who want to fight when the time is afforded them. But, dear friends, we as a Christian, we are on guard 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Why? We have a common enemy who does not want us to succeed. And we know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Well, dear friends, since we know the battle belongs to the Lord, since this is true, how should you and I live? Knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord, how is it that you and I, we should conduct ourselves? Number one, we should be strong in the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. We should be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul, as he concludes his masterful work to the church at Ephesus, a church he dearly loved, he says, "Finally, my brethren," he's wording it to those comrades in the faith, He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says we must be strong in the Lord. How do we do that? By putting on the whole armor of God. What does that include? Well, it allows us to stand. It allows us to face difficulties. We have, verse 14, our loins girt about with truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 17, we have the shield of faith where we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. We have on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, coupling all this with prayer. That means you are a soldier, typically depicting a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier ready to go to battle. By the way, your back's not that well protected because you're always on the offense. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. You don't have to be on the defense. You're on the winning team. God plus one's a majority. That's the whole premise of the book of Revelation. Also, Romans 8:31, if God's for us, who can be against us? Dear friends, we must be strong in the Lord. We must always be on the offense. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Because he's already won. We have to go fight the battle, sure, but the battle belongs to the Lord. So we must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, at knowing that we're on the winning team, and that provides us comfort. That provides us knowledge, knowing that regardless of come what may, as long as I die on his team and I'm faithful to him, I will have the reward I'm searching after. Dear friends, we need to pause our study on the battle belonging to the Lord here on Reading the Word. Brother Jim Dearman is going to invite you to come to the services at the Arlington Church of Christ, where I'm honored to be the pulpit minister. We'd love for you to come visit with us when you have a chance. Please stay with us. We'll be back and look at our final 2 points on the battle belongs to the Lord here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad that you stuck around to continue reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. ReadingTheWord.net is where you can find the replay of this online anytime, this particular episode or the 95 that preceded it in our studies. We're talking about the battle belongs to the Lord. We looked at how David was confident in the battle against Goliath, for the battle belongs to the Lord. We looked at what God told Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15, that the battle is not his, but it is God's. Dear friends, since this information is true, that the battle belongs to the Lord, how should we live? And we just finished our first point, that of being strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Our second point of how we should live, we should be steady in the Word. We should be strong in the Lord. Number two, steady in the Word. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Notice what the Scripture says, what Paul pens, a beautiful passage on the resurrection of Christ. He closes it out by saying, therefore, summing it all up, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear friends, as a Christian and as a minister, I love this verse, because there are times where I go out and work and it seems like nothing was accomplished. Yet he says, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, what does he mean? Well, when you're steadfast, when you're steady, when you're unmovable, when you're always abounding in the work of the Lord, you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We must be steady. We must be constant. I think about this as a flag post sticking out there with the flag just flapping around in gale force winds. And yet, no matter which way the wind blows, with that flagpole being anchored correctly, it's going to be steady in the ground. So it's not going to let anything blow it over, unlike the flagpole at our house. So the people before us did not anchor it correctly. So a big wind came up, broke the flagpole, and that's been a different story for a different day. But it was not anchored properly. Dear friends, when we are steady in the Word, when we're grounded in the Word, which is the pillar and the ground of truth, it is the church based upon the Word of God and the Church of Christ, Christ's Church. When we are steady in that, when we are constantly studying on a daily basis with the sole intent of knowing more about God and His Church through His Word, then we know the battle has already been won. And since this is true, we should live steady in the Word. We should live a life where we want to be faithful, where I want to die in the Lord, where I want to be steady. I love going to funerals for a faithful Christian, for a faithful brother or sister in Christ. In fact, those are the easiest funerals to preach. I've preached some funerals, being a minister, that happens sooner or later. I don't mind the funeral for the faithful one. It's the unfaithful one or the harder ones. Why? Faithful are the, or blessed are those who die in the Lord. The book of Psalms says, 116, we should be steady in the Word. We should also be strong in the Lord. But finally, dear friends, since the battle belongs to the Lord, how should we live? We should be sure in the reward. Be sure in the reward. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, for the last time. Secular history tells us, after he pens these words, it's not too long before he is taken out of prison and beheaded. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the judge, the righteous, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. I should be sure in the reward, knowing that my labor is not in vain. I'm steady in the Word. That way I know, when I'm faithful to my very last breath, and I take it, and I pass from here to this side, on this side of eternity to the next, I know my reward. Paul knew what was waiting for him. He says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You can't have the confidence knowing there's a crown of righteousness if you're not steady in the Word and strong in the Lord. You can't be sure in the reward because you'll say, well, I don't know. Dear friends, if you don't know what's waiting for you on the other side of eternity, if you take your final breath before I finish this sentence, you need to get sure. You don't need to go, well, I hope I'm going to make it to heaven. Dear friends, the Bible teaches you can know the truth, John 8:32, and it sets you free. And there's comfort in being sure in the reward. Since the battle belongs to the Lord, how should we live? And if you notice, all three of these points end with the same sound, right? We be strong in the Lord, be steady in the Word, and be sure in the reward. That's how we are to live our lives, knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord. Dear friends, as we begin to close out this study today, I want you to notice this. Only God can turn a mess into a message. Only God can turn a trial into a triumph. And only God can turn a victim into a victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, who sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. Oh, He loved me ere I knew Him. He died for me, but God commended His love toward us, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ, God turns a mess into a message, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. And thanks be to God, I can be on His team. By submitting to His commands, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized, going down that watery grave, coming up a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, please reach out to me. You can do it online, readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. There's contact. My number's on there. Would love to talk with you, study with you, put you in contact with somebody, dear friends. I know faithful Christians literally all over the world love to put you in contact with someone who could sit down and talk about your soul and eternity with you. I do hope that we, speaking of talking about your soul and eternity, I hope that we have an opportunity afforded ourselves again to study in this format next week, same time, same place. We'll open God's Word again and see what it says, how we can live to be a more faithful Christian. We'll end this lesson the same way we've ended every lesson in this series, first by inviting you to come out and join us at the Arlington Church of Christ, located on Faulkner Springs Road, and also by saying, may the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.